athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I know you're proud of me.
Wherever and however you may be listening, whether you're in the beautiful Bahamas listening to us on Global 99.5, if you're in Bermuda and you're listening to us on Hot 107.5 FM, if you're listening to us in the beautiful Virgin Islands and in Puerto Rico on KISS FM 96.1 or JAMS FM 105.3. How about those? I heard it snowed like in the New York area this week. I guess it depends upon which part of New York you were in. The furthest we go up north is Pittsburgh on WGBN, whether you're listening there or if you're listening in the great state of North Carolina, where we are, for instance, Elizabeth City OBX on WRVS. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Look, we got a whole lot to get to on today's program. The NFL draft is going to take place in less than a week. ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed's going to join us today on the program. I want to get his thoughts on a number of players, a number of potential places where teams are going to draft. Obviously, the Titans have the number one pick, followed by the Browns, the Giants at number three. A lot has been made. As a matter of fact, in the last couple of weeks, really, the talk of the NFL draft has been about Shedeur Sanders. And I'm interested to learn from Jordan Reed because, look, once the season ended, it was Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders at 1 and 2, or possibly the number one and number two picks, or it was Shedeur Sanders, then Cam Ward at the number one or number two picks. And now Cam Ward has solidified himself as the number one pick. I don't think there's any question about it that the Titans are going to go with Cam Ward at number one, particularly with their quarterback situation. I mean, are you going to rely on Will Levis to move you forward? I mean, Will Levis has shown some flashes, but I don't think he's your long-term solution. But then Shedeur Sanders, I mean, the consensus is that he may go to the Giants at number three. The Giants have had intimate meetings, conversations, workouts with him more recently. But even if he doesn't go to the Giants, there's been talk about perhaps the Saints at number nine with the whole Derek Carr situation there in New Orleans. As a matter of fact, shouts out to our affiliate in New Orleans as well. Or he could slide even further than that. And I'm just wondering what has happened between the end of the college football season, in essence, until the last, I don't know, maybe month or so when this talk actually began with Shedeur Sanders possibly sliding. So we're going to talk again with Jordan Reed of ESPN, NFL draft analyst, going to join us today here on the program. Plenty of NBA talk as the NBA playoffs begin on Saturday. Want to look at some of those matchups. I'm intrigued, and I'll tell you a little bit more later on why I am intrigued by the Houston and Golden State matchup. I'm really intrigued specifically by that matchup. I mean, there's a lot of matchups, right? But we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the program also. You know, this NIL situation is just inescapable, right? And, you know, we've talked about that more so pertaining to basketball over the last couple of weeks or so. And, you know, it continues into football season, right? Your two biggest sports are college basketball, and then also college football as well. Really college football, then college basketball in that order. And I just thought it was interesting that we've had these conversations. You know, Kenny Blakeney, we had him on a couple of weeks ago, the head men's basketball coach at Howard. And one of the things that he said was that he thought that players should sign contracts. You know, and it looks like that, in fact, is where we may be headed, right? And so I'm going to tell you something that was interesting to me, that while we've talked about, you know, I don't know that I had ever seen the word contract. Now, you know, look, at the end of the day, even under the old rules, a scholarship was a contract, right? It was a contract. I think I've seen the term NIL contract, but I'm not sure if I've ever seen the term contract. Well, on ESPN's bottom line, on Friday morning, I'm looking at the bottom line. It says UNC or North Carolina signs Gio Lopez to a 2-year, $4 million contract. It said 2 years, $4 million contract. I went to ESPN.com and it in fact says, I'm reading the article, it says, per sources, Lopez will join North Carolina on a 2-year, $4 million contract with 3 seasons of remaining eligibility after a breakout redshirt freshman season in 2024 at South Alabama, where he put up some good numbers and led South Alabama to a bowl game. So I guess the renegotiation comes up after, I don't know, after a couple of years. Does it come up after, let's say he has a breakout season for UNC? And I just don't know. I mean, I know, you know, again, Bill Belichick being at UNC, it's a big deal, no question about it, especially here in the state of North Carolina. When you have a coach of that magnitude, now a college head football coach, it is. And look, UNC is not, you know, Alabama. It's not, you know, any of these type of programs. It's produced over the years fantastic players. That's the interesting thing about UNC to me, not to get off the subject, but UNC has produced phenomenal football players. Most notably, I mean, there's a lot, but most notably Lawrence Taylor. Like Lawrence Taylor, maybe the greatest defensive player to ever play the game, went to UNC. Right. So some great football players have come out of North Carolina. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen at UNC. I just don't think, even with Bill Belichick there, like, I don't think the success is going to be there. That aside, 2 years, $4 million contract, not NIL deal, contract. And this is where we are in the problem that I have, because now, you know, why do we even use the term NIL? This isn't about NIL. NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And to me, what name, image, and likeness is, if I'm talking about paying someone, it's about what they're going to bring to me from a marketing standpoint, not necessarily what they're going to do on the field. Now, there's different ways, in terms of marketing, like marketing is so vast. Like I could have a guy that's a high profile guy, right? And he comes to my school. Well, from a name, image, and likeness perspective, that may bring a little bit more notoriety to my school, regardless of what he does on the field. And I think what some of these student athletes do on the field, and, you know, student athlete is an old term. That's an old term. I mean, we need to use the term professional players now, right? What these guys do on the field is mostly why they're getting paid. So why do we even use the name, the term name, image, and likeness? And actually, even though the word contract surprised me, I'm more in favor of using the term contract than I am we're signing a guy for his name, image, and likeness. There's really no such thing to me, unless you're signing, you know, less, you know, and you do have some like maybe in some of the smaller sports where somebody's social media, right? Like they're big on social media. Maybe they have all of these followers. And so they get a deal in that manner. And that is really becomes, that's more how I would define name, image, and likeness than what you could do on the field. Because, I mean, all due respect to Gio Lopez, I didn't know much about him before his name came up on the ticker, right? Like it wasn't like one of the top quarterbacks making a transfer. It was a guy who was playing at the FBS level, but not at the Power 5 level. So I didn't even really know much about him. So I think the two-year, $4 million contract was appropriate in terms of using that term contract. Now, the whole Tennessee quarterback situation, right, is an interesting one because you have the former now quarterback who's now at UCLA, as a matter of fact, Nico Iamaleava. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Iamaleava is now at UCLA. And right before the final practice or the spring game, he and his reps decide, we want more money. And we're not going to sign. We're not going to continue. We're not going to play in the spring game. We're not going to participate in this final practice until the contract, okay, not NIL deal, contract is renegotiated. And so that was a whole debacle. Now he's at UCLA, and it doesn't seem like there's any, but now I know there's maybe some legislative measures that are on the way with respect to this. But it's the wild, wild west right now that a guy can participate the whole time. And we don't know the different circumstances. Maybe Tennessee promised him something, didn't come through. He decided to leave. I mean, it doesn't really matter who's at fault. The fact that we even got to that point where that guy said, you know what, I'm not playing in the last football game, puts his name in the transfer portal. Now he's out in UCLA, by the way, from an article that I read in the Knoxville Centennial, that he's not even making the $4 million that he wanted to make. He wanted to make $4 million. He was making like two, I think, with Tennessee. This thing continues to be a mess. Miss me with the term NIL, and let's just talk about contracts. And for me, we're talking about professional ball now. Like, I'm still going to be into college football. I'm going to still be into college basketball and watching the games and with the tournament and the college football playoff and all that. But when I want to watch professional football, I'm going to be more into the National Football League because those guys are getting paid for real and they're getting paid to be great. College football players are still developing. They may be solid at the level they are, but I want to watch at the highest level. And so the highest level is the National Football League. So it continues to be a mess. It will continue to be a mess. And I guess we'll continue to talk about it on this program. Still to come here on the program, more NBA talk. But up next, we're going to be joined by ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed. Keep it locked.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you you'll save. You can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
If you're going on a trip and you need a car reservation, call the car reservation hotline now for access to every major rental car deal across the United States. We can save you a ton of money. Don't get lost searching, and don't get lost in an endless phone tree nightmare. When you call us, there's never a hold time. You'll get connected to a real human. We have access to crazy rental car deals, and we make it easy. Just one phone call to access everything. How much simpler can it get? Find out right now for free what kind of car rental deals we can get you. You'll be amazed. Pick up the phone and call the car rental hotline right now.
Call 800-917-1119. 800-917-1119.
We'll even give you one free rental car day with your reservation. Write this number down right now and call.
Call 800-917-1119. That's 800-917-1119.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to
Box
Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
The NFL draft is going to be taking place, of course, on next Thursday. We've got a draft expert on the line. And this young man, I tell you what, he's doing so many big things. He, of course, joined us on the program last year. He played his collegiate ball quarterback at North Carolina Central. Also, a recruiting coordinator and assistant coach during those great years that North Carolina Central was making a run in the MEAC for those MEAC championships. Jordan Reed of ESPN, NFL draft analyst, joining us back here on the program. Good to talk with you again, Jordan. What's happening?
I'm good, man. It's always a pleasure being able to join you. Feels like we've known each other for well over 10 years now. So always happy to have our yearly chat.
Absolutely. You know, I want to start here. Shedeur Sanders, a lot is being made about Shedeur Sanders, and you've watched Shedeur Sanders. And I think the interesting thing is this. He makes the jump from high school to Jackson State, does very well his first year, even better his second year. He makes what I would even argue is a two-tier jump because, you know, if you're playing SWAC, it's considered lower level. So you're not only FBS now, but you're Power Five. And he makes that jump, good first year, even better second year this past year where he, 74% completion percentage. So a lot has been made. You know, it seemed like he may have been, it was Cam Ward and he coming, you know, when the season ended, then he and Cam Ward. What do you make of all of this Shedeur Sanders talk in terms of why teams may think he's not the right fit for them?
Well, I think there's a lot of things attached to it. And interestingly enough, I think how they got here moment as far as Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders is very similar because if you remember, Cam Ward started out in the FCS level with the Carnet Word, and then he transitioned to Washington State and then most notably with Miami. And then with Shedeur taking a very similar career path, even though there was one less stop, of course, starting his career at Jackson State and then going on to Colorado. But I think it's just the combination of the physical traits of how scouts really view them a little bit differently. I think Cam is just on another tier as far as with his physical traits. Now, that's not to say that Shedeur doesn't go on and have a better career than Cam, but whenever you're taking a quarterback inside of the top 5 or 10 picks, teams are always going to chase those physical traits, even though a quarterback may not have had a better career, even better tape. It's just they're chasing the tools a lot with those quarterbacks, which I say that P word can get you in trouble a lot, and that is potential or even upside. With Shedeur, though, I think he's the most accurate passer in this year's draft class, and he has a lot of what I like to call translatable traits, which is the poise. He was exceptional in fourth quarters during his career, and even going back to his days in the SWAC, I thought he came in and did a remarkable job as far as taking over that program and getting back to their winning tradition at Jackson State, which they have historically had. So there's a lot of things that are working in his favor. It's just the difference of opinions on the physical traits and what is that, what his exact ceiling is going to be on the next level.
No, I definitely understand that. But it just seems, because now, you know, there's some talk that he may fall, some, you know, and it's talk, like we don't really know, right? But some other guy, you know, Jackson Dart has been thrown into this conversation of some guys that may be picked even before Shador. But I guess my thing is, we knew all of this, everything you're talking about, we knew all of this right after the college season was over. So was there something, maybe, I guess, more scouts had a chance to look maybe a little bit deeper at all of those traits that you're talking about?
Yeah, really December, January, and February is really when your coaches and your high-ranked executives really get involved in the draft process. So you really start to figure out where teams have guys ranked, or things really start to materialize. Really before that point is really just a lot of opinions, and then a difference of opinions as far as where guys can be. But as we get closer to the draft and the draft date in April, that's where things really start to crystallize a little bit as far as where the NFL or potential teams really have them on the draft board.
Let me speak a little bit to Cam Ward. You've broken the tape down. You mentioned 100% correct, because even at Incarnate Word, I went back and looked at some of the numbers. I mean, this kid passed for over 2,200 yards in six games at Incarnate Word when they had the COVID shortened season, and then all of his progression. I mean, what he did, you know, the next year, 4,700. I mean, his numbers are incredible. What makes Cam Ward so special, and in terms of being pretty much, I think, even your number one pick in this year's NFL draft?
Well, I think it's just the underdog mentality that he's always had throughout his career. And if you remember when he was coming out as a recruit in Texas, he was not heavily recruited at all. And he played in a wing T offense. So he was lucky to throw the ball 10 times a game. But he's kept that same mentality all throughout his career. He feels like he's been counted out everywhere that he's been. And that's exactly how he plays. He has that, you know, a lot of people like to say nonchalant, but I call it poised and really playing laid back, just because that's what you want to see from a quarterback. You don't want to see a player that's panicky or jittery in the pocket. You never get that sense from Cam. He's always in control. He's always poised. And even going back to last season, he always was able to make one play to keep Miami in the game. So you can go back to the Georgia Tech game is one, even though they lost in that game, I thought he made a ton of plays. The Cal game and even the Virginia Tech game when they won on the Hail Mary down the field in the back of the end zone, he was always able to make that one play to help them win the game. So it's just the combination of the poise, him always being in control, and then that underdog mentality that he's carried with him throughout his career.
Now, if I'm looking at your mock draft, am I understanding this that you're saying that the Giants are going to trade up to get Cam Ward?
Yeah, so I have a new one coming out next Monday. Okay. That one's about a month old. So Okay. That was something that was like the biggest rumor that was happening coming out of the combine, which is when I released that mock draft. But as Tennessee has started to meet with Cam, they had an opportunity really to get to know him at the private workouts and the 30 visits. They're pretty much convinced that he's their guy. So I expect them to take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. But coming out of the combine, that was like the big rumor that was happening, that the Giants were going to try to trade up in order to get Cam.
Which would make a lot of sense. NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed of ESPN, of course, former North Carolina Central quarterback and coach. He joins us here on the program as we talk NFL draft, which is taking place on next Thursday. So we're so many things to talk about. Where ultimately do you believe when your mock draft comes out on Monday, and that can be found at ESPN.com and ESPN Plus, where will Shador Sanders be drafted?
I'm going to have him at 9 to the Saints. I think that's a fair spot of where he could go, but things get really interesting if he does not go to the Saints at number 9 overall, because there just isn't a lot of visible quarterback landing spots until you get to Pittsburgh at number 21 overall. But there also could be another team that ends up trading up for him. So let's say the Giants or the Browns pass on Shador at 2 or 3. Both of those teams have the first pick, the first and the second pick in the second round. So they could trade back up ahead of Pittsburgh in the first round if he somehow slips past the Saints at 9. But I'm going to have him to the Saints at 9 just because we saw the Derek Carr news recently come out about him and him possibly missing all of next season. And outside of Spencer Rattler, they don't have anybody else to really compete in that quarterback room. So I think Shador would be a great addition there in New Orleans.
The narrative maybe earlier this week, which I think is a fair narrative in terms of Travis Hunter. And, you know, we're talking about the quarterbacks, but Travis Hunter is like a two-way player, a generational type of guy. And we're not talking about him as much, but that's because quarterback rules sports in general. Just does, whatever level and whatever sport. So, you know, speak to Travis Hunter. Do you like him more as a receiver? Do you like him more as a corner? And then ultimately, where do you think he goes?
I mean, he's my favorite player in the draft, Donald. I think he's so special. Like, this dude is a rare two-way player that we really haven't seen since Charles Woodson was coming out of Michigan and also Champ Bailey when he was coming out of Georgia. Those are really your only two comparables that can be used for Travis Hunter. But if I were a GM, I would play him as a corner full-time, and then I would sprinkle him in about 15 to 20 plays in a package at wide receiver just because it's very rare to see the inverse happen outside of Troy Brown during his time with Bill Belichick in New England. There really hasn't ever been a receiver that's played full-time at that spot and then transitioned over to corner. And I just think the ball skills that he has and being able to really eliminate one side of the field essentially with Travis Hunter, I like that more so than potentially using him sparingly as a wide receiver and trying to force the ball to him.
ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed joining us here on the program. We're talking some NFL draft. We're going to step aside, take a break, come back. We're going to ask Jordan about a couple of other guys, maybe get a little preview of his mock draft and talk about some of the HBCU players that could also be drafted. Keep it locked.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Hey, Patrick, right here. This being your fifth Super Bowl, what do you remember most about this whole process with respect to the first Super Bowl? And when I say the whole process, I mean the preparation, not only for the game, but the media and all of that, as opposed to now. How do you kind of compare that? Is it still kind of fun for you?
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, every Super Bowl is its own experience. But I think more than anything, it's just preparing because you know the process. You know what it takes throughout the week, and it gives you more experience and more calm where you're not worried and you just continue to work to be the best version of yourself you can be and learn from your previous Super Bowls, and hopefully you can play even better in the game when you get out there on Sunday.
Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, you're old school. So you've instituted this deal where the players are not allowed to have cell phones in the locker room.
Well, you got a young group and you're just trying to get some cohesiveness going on. What does goes on the inside of that clubhouse is our sanctuary. I really don't want to have a whole lot to say about that because it's out there and it's out there improperly. I'm going to leave that at that. I don't want to talk about that.
I got you. But I like it. I like it, Ron. I like it.
I appreciate that. That's because you have a sane mind.
Box to Row live on Radio Row. We're here at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. And I'm going to tell you what, we've got a very special guest, right? He was coming over here to talk to us, right? Everybody wanted a piece of him. And now we're able to talk with him. He is the one and only Drew Brees.
Just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying Media Row. Join the city.
Yeah.
You having a good time?
I'm having a great time. 15 years ago today, the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Man, that was a pretty epic time. It was a pretty special time. You know, that was an incredible journey that 2009 season. Just the whole experience was unbelievable. It was surreal, and the city deserved it. The fan base deserved it. Not a dry eye in the house. It was unbelievable.
Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach at Houston.
Being raised in Pembroke and the Lumbee Nation was always a badge of honor. But getting the eagle feather is a sign of achievement and respect, and I think how you treat other people. Never forgetting where you came from. I grew up in a time when there was segregation. My dad taught and coached in an all-Indian conference. I mean, coming from that area, I learned a lot of life lessons, but getting the eagle feather is a tremendous honor. But you know right away, it's something you share with a lot of other people.
It was Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, it's a great story. story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, to be person of color and be the manager of the Dodgers, what does that mean to you?
There's not many of us in baseball to do things the right way, to hopefully give other people of color opportunity. Hopefully it just paves the way. So I think that for me, I definitely look at it as responsibility, but something I'm willing to undertake.
Michael B. Jordan.
And I think it's a testament to, you know, what HBCUs mean to people, you know, and having that community and culture and shining a light on the universities, you know what I'm saying, in a real way, and creating a pipeline from these kids in high school and making them feel good about wanting to land at HBCU. We have high, you know, high talent. And often it's gone and shipped out to other places. It's never poured back into the community. So if we can create an environment that's cool and a beacon of light and people want to feel like they want to be here. And so putting it on the national stage is really big. You know, most of the time these kids don't get televised games. You know what I'm saying? So be able to put them on Turner in a real way was really, really important. And then the brands and then the sponsors, you know what I'm saying? And getting, you know, the NBA, you know, scouts and looks to come in and hopefully like build this thing bigger.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get and I appreciate the support of hip hop. And it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them. And I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
Kevin Hart, George is here.
Right now, I'm on cloud nine. This is the time where I'm in demand, so you make the best of it. You pick great projects, you get behind them, and you put them out. And the goal is to keep them coming. So that's making sure that you're in control of your destiny. And right now, I am.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Welcome back to the program, talking some NFL draft. Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joining us on the program. Of course, played his collegiate ball at North Carolina Central and was an assistant coach and recruiting coordinator at NCCU before getting into the whole draft deal, and is doing some really, really big things. One of indeed the experts, and you can hear him when he speaks, that he indeed knows what he's talking about. So, Abdul Carter, I want to get your thoughts on him, you know, Penn State's defense, or former now Penn State defensive end, and, you know, what his career potentially could look like, and then ultimately where you think he'll go as well.
I think the easy comparison for him is Micah Parsons. And it's not just that they went to the same school, they play the same position, and they wear the same jersey number. But I think as far as just the way they move, their aggressive mentality, and then just having a knack for getting to the quarterback, they're very similar, have a very similar size profile as well. But I think the special thing about Abdul is that you have to remember, this is his first year ever playing defensive end. He was an off-ball linebacker prior to that point. So just imagine where he's going to be 3 to 4 years from now, just the ceiling that he could have. I think he could be a Micah Parsons type of player on the next level. We see how well Micah has done in Dallas already. So I look at the team like the New York Giants that have a need, that have a need off of the edge with Brian Burns and then also Kayvon Thibodeau already there. So they don't have an immediate pressing need, but I'm of the belief that you should never pass up a player that's in your star or your what I call your bucket A. For a player that may be in need but is in bucket B. So whenever you have that player that's the highest-ranked player on your board and he's the best available, go ahead and keep a strength and go ahead and take a player like an Abdul Carter. Now, like what we saw with the Philadelphia Eagles, allow those defensive linemen to really attack the quarterback in waves just because they get tired of that. And I've been in those shoes before. It can be absolute hell for quarterbacks when you're facing a talented defensive lineman that constantly come at you like that. So I look at the Giants at number 3 overall. I think he would be a great fit there.
A guy that I believe you like and a guy that I didn't even know about until about the middle of last season, had Rhett Lashley, the head coach of SMU, on this program. And in doing the research, you know, I looked at Breshard Smith. I'm like, well, this guy's got some numbers. I didn't really know about him, and then followed his career throughout the rest of the season. And boy, I mean, he and as Coach Lashley let us know, he made the switch from wide receiver to running back. So, you know, speak about him. What kind of grade do you give him, and what round do you think? Is he a potential first rounder by chance?
No, I don't think he's going to go in the first round. He's a day three guy. I think he's going to go in the fourth or the fifth round, if I had to guess, just because it's such a deep running back class. He's going to be pushed down a little bit. He's not an overly big guy either. He's more of a complimentary option. But I think with him playing wide receiver and a running back is going to help him a lot, especially with these teams really facing challenges, really to differentiate some of the players in this tier of running backs and putting them in different buckets. Breshard Smith having that experience at receiver and then also showing that he's capable of being a productive player at running back, there's going to be a lot of teams that are looking for an offensive weapon like that. But he's one of my favorite deep sleepers in this year's draft class, and I think we could get as many as 30 running backs drafted in this year's class, which hasn't happened since 2017. So that just goes to show you the depth in this year's class. But if I'm looking for somebody that can be that versatile, what I like to call 1B or complementary option, Breshard Smith would definitely be at the top of my list.
ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed joining us here on the program. Who are some of the guys, Jordan, maybe that we're not talking about enough? Because obviously we're mostly talking about Shedeur Sanders, really. But then we're talking about some of the guys we mentioned, Abdul Carter. We're talking about Cam Ward, et cetera. Who that you think, first round or not, that's a guy that really can make an impact right away, we're not talking enough about?
Oh, I'll let you pick a position. What position?
Yeah, but that's fair. Let's go. Yeah, you got me. We can't go quarterback. We can't go running back. Let's go on the line. We don't talk about the offensive line enough. So let's go offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with the HBCU guy, and it's Carson Vincent of Alabama A&M. He's one that a lot of scouts are really interested in. And, you know, what I thought was really great for him is that Alabama actually allowed him to participate in their pro day. So we know a big school like Alabama, all 32 teams, all the GMs in the league are going to be there. So him getting those extra eyes on him, I thought was really good. He performed really well at the Senior Bowl as well, which is a huge accomplishment, especially being an HBCU prospect. There's really only one or two HBCU prospects that participate in the Senior Bowl every year. It's very rare that it's an offensive lineman. So him going down there, not only participating, but playing well and showing that he belongs with a lot of those other big schools, I thought he helped himself a lot. And he'll probably go somewhere in probably the fifth or the sixth round, if I had to guess. But I think he's going to be a really productive player on the next level.
Yeah. Do you think that, because from some of the stuff I was reading, he also participated in the NFL Combine, that, you know, you just don't know, because our players, and I've written about this for years, our players rarely get drafted, yet 40% of the HBCU players in the league are free agent guys. So they don't get drafted, but they can play. We know they can play. You feel like, I just before the Alabama showing, I just felt like, you know, maybe people weren't as high on him. Do you think he more really elevated his stock even more because of the pro day at Alabama?
Yeah, I think he did. And whenever you're able to participate in something like that, it shows that there's a lot of NFL interest in you. Just because if you're projected to be an undrafted free agent or a priority free agent, they usually don't let you participate in something as monumental or big like that. So it was really, really good that they not only allowed him to participate, but he went out there and showed well too.
Yeah, shout out to those schools that allow for that to happen. Alabama, NC State has been a school that has done that for many, many, many years. Shout out to those schools. Last thought before we talk more about some of the HBCU guys. Jackson Dart, I want to get your thoughts because I'm hearing his name a lot. Quarterback, you know, sort of your thoughts on him and where you think he'll go.
Yeah, he's one of the more polarizing prospects in this year's class. I see him more so as a second-round quarterback. That's where I have him on my board. But you're starting to hear stuff that he could go as high as the Saints at 9 or even Pittsburgh at 21. You know, the Saints at 9 would be extremely high for me. But the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21, I think, is a little bit more realistic for him. Or even the back end of the first round, I would be completely fine with that. But me personally, I see him more so as a second-round guy. But also – it's just the credit of the quarterback class not being as strong as what we have seen in years past. I mean, we saw six guys go in the top 12 last year. Obviously, the depth of this year's class isn't that. But the thing that's just a bit worrisome about Dart is just he played in that college-oriented offense with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And the things that he's going to be asked to do on the next level, he just wasn't asked to do that consistently at Ole Miss. So there's going to be some mental hurdles that he's going to have to overcome. It's just a matter of how long is it going to take for those things to click for him. I think that's what is ultimately going to make or break his career on the next level.
Jordan Reed, of course, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joining us for a couple of more moments to talk some National Football League. All right, who are some of, you know, we had Rob McDaniel on this program last week. James Burgess was on this program last week. I've heard a lot of talk about Irv Mulligan. As a matter of fact, you did a preseason ranking of the top HBCU players. You had Caron Prunty, who obviously had a chance to see him play up close and personal. He's transferred, going to play one more year now at Wake Forest. But who are some of the other guys that from an HBCU standpoint that you think could in fact be drafted this year?
Well, your two big ones are, we already touched on Carson Vincent, Robert McDaniel out of Jackson State, who's a safety slash corner. I think he's going to be a safety on the next level, though. Those are your two guys that are likely to get drafted. And then after that, you have some borderline guys. James Burgess, the corner out of Alabama State, who's generating some interest. Was really surprised to see him not in any postseason All-Star games. I thought he definitely was worthy of playing in some of them. Irv Mulligan, we talked about, who was a terrific addition for them down at Jackson State. They really rode his coattail into winning a HBCU national title last year. Kenny Gallup, who's a safety slash linebacker out of Howard, he's another name to definitely keep an eye on. Kendall Bowler, a corner out of Florida A&M, is another name that I think has a chance to get in camp for somebody as a priority free agent. And also Jeremiah Pruitt, who also plays for the Rattlers. That's a tight end as well. So it's a very intriguing crop of HBCU players this year.
Any buzz on Virginia Union running back Jada Byer? I mean, I know he's you know, a smaller guy, but I mean, the production in college is undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, not any buzz on him right now, but I think he may get a chance in somebody's training camp or rookie mini camp. I definitely think he's worthy of that. But I mean, a few years ago, we saw a guy with similar size and Tariq Cohen go on to have a really good career early on in his tenure in the NFL before the injuries unfortunately happened with him. But just the suddenness, the shiftiness, and the quickness that he plays with, I definitely think there's a place for him somewhere on somebody's professional roster. I'm just hoping he gets a fair chance on the NFL despite his size.
And then lastly, and I know I asked you this last year, but for our new listeners, can you just speak to your journey? I just find it really fascinating, quite frankly. Obviously, having played football at collegiate at North Carolina Central specifically, this could be a progression, right? Like to what you're doing right now, and you're doing it well. But what made you want to really get into this? And did you foresee yourself being a draft analyst at ESPN ultimately?
Yeah, I mean, I get asked that a million times a week. And like I tell everybody, like, I just fell into the journalism space. I didn't plan on, you know, being a journalist and working at ESPN or anything like that. I wanted to take the route of being a high school coach, or excuse me, a college coach, which is what I originally was, as a graduate assistant, excuse me, at North Carolina Central. And then I went the assistant coach route. I wanted to eventually be a coordinator somewhere and then a head coach. And then once I got old and couldn't move anymore, I wanted to be an athletic director somewhere in the country. So that was the original plan that I had for my life. But in 2018, we unfortunately got let go when I was coaching at Central, and then had a family with my now wife. I had twin girls. There will be six next month. So wanted to figure out how I could combine journalism as well as the game of football. So I just started some YouTube videos, started doing voiceover scouting reports of some players that I thought were really intriguing. And I got the courage to publish some of those actually on social media. I started an account on then what it was called, Twitter, X or whatever you want to call it now. And then I started a blog as well. So I just started publishing my scouting reports, doing some voiceover scouting reports of some things online as well. I got picked up by a company called The Draft Network, which was a startup at the time. They were looking for somebody that had my qualifications. I was there for 2.5 years covering everything from, you know, D2, D3, FCS, and then, of course, Power 5 at the time. And ESPN, I got a random direct message from one of their executives. They say, hey, we notice your work. We love your grind. Would you want to interview with us? I was like, man, is this spam? Am I being punked? Like, I couldn't believe it. So went through a ton of rounds of interviews, met a lot of different people. And then, you know, you always got to be ready for your opportunity, just because I've always felt that hard work puts you in position for blessings to find you. So I'm just somebody that's worked hard and just took an advantage of my opportunities. And when those blessings came, I just took advantage of it. So, like I said, I just fell into it and I just took advantage of my opportunities. And I'm still trying to take advantage of those opportunities and make everybody proud.
Doing an absolutely fantastic job. You can hear him, of course, right there talking. His mock draft, his latest mock draft, is going to come out on Monday, ESPN.com, ESPN Plus. Follow him on X at Jordan_Reed, R-E-I-D, Jordan_Reed. He is ESPN NFL draft analyst, former North Carolina Central quarterback and coach. Jordan Reed joining us here on the program to talk some NFL draft. Jordan, always appreciate the time, man. Continue to enjoy this process.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Donald.
ESPN NFL draft analyst Jordan Reed. NBA talk is up next. Keep it locked.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Christian Ings, NCAA dunk champion.
It all happened so fast. Like, the crowd went crazy, and I was just like, I just did that. And then when they came across that it was on Get Up, that's when they really, like, hit me like, yo, you might have did something just now.
Wait a minute, I got to rewind that back. He said, I may have just done something. You think so, Christian?
I feel like I've done that dunk so many times in my lifetime. Like, I didn't know that it was going to go that viral. I just like, yeah, I got bounced. I just wanted to show it off. This is my last game act. I gotta give them something.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Now, back to From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Oh, yeah. You know, like how you said, started my career off at Jack State as my freshman year before transferring to Mississippi Gulf Coast, you know, to, you know, further develop my skills and understanding the game. You know, from there, I did have the opportunity to play at Alcorn State, where I continued to grow and showcase my abilities, earning second team HBCU All-American. Then, you know, ultimately, I did finish back at Jack State, where I was able to maximize my potential and versatility, you know, capping off my senior year with one of my best seasons yet, ending off as a SWAC championship defensive MVP and HBCU national champion.
Rob McDaniel, former now safety at Jackson State, joined us last week. NFL hopeful, hoping to hear his name called in next week's NFL draft. And as you might have heard, if you missed the last couple of segments, Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joined us and likes Rob McDaniel possibly to be drafted. If you missed the conversation we had with Rob McDaniel last week, we also talked with James Burgess of Alabama State, hoping to hear his name called in next week's NFL draft. Then we also had a conversation with NCAA slam dunk champion Christian Ings of Norfolk State. You can visit our website, boxtorow.com, and listen to that or those interviews or those conversations. So let's talk some NBA here on the program. And we know that the NBA, look, I love the play-in situation. Is absolutely it's spectacular. And by the way, I've got to say this before we talk more NBA. So last week I'm watching on Sunday because every single team played on Sunday. So I'm sitting there, I'm watching the main games, if you will. You know, that Golden State and LA Clippers game was really, really good. One in which the Clippers came away with the victory and ended up getting seeded in the playoffs, while Golden State had to earn its way, and it did with its victory in the play-in, first play-in over Memphis. But I'm watching the Wizards play the Heat. And the Wizards looked like the Wizards were going to lose the game late in the game and came back. Wizards were down by four, as a matter of fact, with like inside of 10 seconds remaining. Hit a three-pointer to bring it to within one. The Heat go on the other end, miss both free throws. The Wizards come back, and Bub Carrington hits an impossible fall-away shot from about 10 feet, had defenders draped all over him, was going away from his opposite hand on the left side, hits the shot, the Wizards win. I'm like, yeah, but where was this? And of course, the Heat wasn't playing with, like, you know, resting players. The Heat was resting players. But I'm like, where were some of these games back during the season when the Wizards were getting the brakes beat off of them? Because what then happened is this. The Wizards then at that point, with the after, you know, 18 wins, season over, Utah still had one more game to play with 17 wins. The Jazz ended up losing that game. And so now the Wizards could have been in a situation where when you have the draft lottery, it could have been number, it could have had a better chance. You don't, it's not like the NFL, for those that don't know, the NBA has a draft lottery system. So the lower you finish in terms of regular season, the higher chance you have of getting the number one pick or being seeded, you know, 1 through 13. Well, the Wizards blew getting the higher opportunity by winning the game. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Now, I know players are going to go out and play. They're trying to win a game no matter what the circumstance is. I mean, I was kind of happy in a way, but, man, you certainly had a better opportunity, I think, if the Wizards didn't win that game. So you've got some intriguing matchups. First round of the playoffs. You know, the Bucks and the Pacers, like, and Damian Lillard got some good news, and he's not going to play in game one, but he got some good news in terms of his health and the possibility of coming back. Because for me, if you've got a healthy Damian Lillard, I think the Bucks are sort of that sleeper team because you still have a lot of the pieces that were part of the NBA champion Bucks back in 2021. I know it was four years ago now, but Antetokounmpo. But I like Kyle Kuzma as well. I think Kyle Kuzma brings something to the table. He's done well because he hasn't had to be the leader. When he was with the Wizards, he had and he could give you 30 point games. He could give you 30 and 10. But now he's not having to do that. He's the second option right now and the third option with Damian Lillard. And to me, that was a sneaky good trade for the Bucks to be able to get Kyle Kuzma. I think a healthy Damian Lillard could really propel the Bucks. I like the way the Pacers have really been playing down the stretch. Like, the Pacers have been doing their thing. But again, no Damian Lillard, I don't give the Bucks a chance. But Damian Lillard, I give the Bucks a chance. You know, these games on Saturday, all of them, right? Like, you know, I look at the Clippers and the Nuggets in that series, right? Like, for me, and it's no foregone conclusion because, you know, Mike Malone, we talked about it last week, you let him go with three games remaining in the season, which is interesting in of itself. And, you know, this is a team that's only 2 years removed from winning the NBA championship, but it's a team that I wasn't sold on. It was a right around All-Star break. The Nuggets were, you know, in second place. You shift to do March Madness. You look back up, the Nuggets are in, like, seventh place. Like, what happened? You know, and then all of a sudden the Rockets were in second place, and we can talk more about the Rockets. I want to talk more about the Rockets because for me, the most intriguing matchup are the Rockets and the Warriors. But, you know, I've been waiting, like, the Clippers, and that win over Golden State was really, really big. And this is what I had been waiting on from the Clippers going back to I guess 3 years ago when John Wall had signed to be part of the Clippers. And then they had Paul George at that time, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that was a really, really good team. To me, that would have made the Clippers, to me, one of the top two teams at that time in the West. And it just never worked out because Kawhi was never healthy. Well, guess what? Kawhi is healthy. And in talking to people that cover the Clippers, Kawhi is as healthy as he's ever been since he's been in L.A. So I don't like the way the Nuggets are playing. I look at the Clippers, James Harden. I don't know that the Clippers win a championship because when the last straw for me with James Harden was when he left Brooklyn to go, or was traded, I guess, to go to Philadelphia. I said James Harden would never win a championship. He ultimately leaves Philadelphia and now is with the Clippers. But the way that he is playing, he had 39 points against the Warriors. The way that Kawhi is playing, they've got Norman Powell. I mean, you've got, Zubat. Like, this is a team that is a dark horse team to me that could be possibly in the NBA, possibly in the NBA Finals. Like, I don't think anybody's going to beat OKC. I think OKC ultimately comes out. But, I mean, the Clippers are playing so well. The Knicks and the Pistons, like, for me, and I know that's a 3-6 matchup with the Knicks at 3, Pistons at 6. To me, that wouldn't be an upset. If the Pistons win this series, not an upset to me. I was really high on the Knicks around All-Star break. Really thought that the Knicks could do it. Then they went on a bit of a lull. Then, you had the situation in terms of injuries for the Knicks that really sort of derailed the Knicks a little bit. But now I think the Knicks are playing very, very well. Again, you talk about the injuries, Jalen Brunson in particular going down. That was really, really big, but we saw Mikal Bridges step up when Brunson was down. So the Knicks didn't lose any ground. The Knicks played well enough not to lose any ground. And but still, with that being said, I really like the way that the Pistons have played. I like the way that the Pistons have come up. And that, to me, would not be an upset if the Pistons beat the Knicks. You've got all of these games. But again, the one I'm most intrigued by are the Rockets and the Warriors. For this reason, it's not like the Rockets, the Rockets were the number two seed and by a large margin. Like, it wasn't like the Rockets were battling. The Rockets secured a two seed, and you've got, Jalen Green, right? You've got Amen Thompson. You've got veterans in Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams on your team. Jeff Green, who's won a championship. And I look at that, and I looked up a couple of weeks ago when the Rockets and the Warriors played, how the Rockets played defense, specifically against Steph Curry. I thought, because to me, that to me was the game that said, and I watched that game, I said, boy, the Rockets are legitimate. They didn't just ascend to the number two spot because everybody else was battling out. No, no, no. The Rockets are legit. And to me, the other key, Ime Udoka. Remember going back like 3 years ago or so when he was the coach of the Celtics? The Celtics were playing Brooklyn in the playoffs. He put this defense on Kevin Durant. I had never seen Kevin Durant get locked down, and he got locked down. And I just think the veterans, the young players, and Ime Udoka, all of that combined, generally I would say a team like that would need another year. I don't think the Rockets need another year. I think their year is now, and they will end up in the Western Conference Finals. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft analyst, for joining us today here on the program. For more information on Box to Row, visit our website, boxtorow.com. Don't forget to save the date for August 20th. Which will be our 20-year celebration. We'll have more information again at boxtorow.com. Have a great Easter weekend. On the third day, he arose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And because of that, because Jesus gave his life, again, Matthew 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.